Well, Acts chapter 9. And perhaps somebody would read publicly for us. And I think it's important to get the sense, so let's not, you know, what the word says is more important than what we say about it. Let's always remember that. Maybe somebody would read verses 1 through 16. Some brother, if you would just read in a loud voice for us.
Acts chapter 9, starting verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling with and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Hard to know where exactly to begin, isn't it? What a wonderful, wonderful testimony of the grace of God that would reach down to such a man as this, who had letters of authority, who was a murderer, he says in another portion, a blasphemer, a rude, injurious man. But the grace of God touched that man's heart. God stopped him in his tracks, didn't he? What a wonderful thing. Verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and there suddenly shined round about him a light from heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If there's ever direction in your life, it will come from the light from heaven. There isn't any light here. There isn't any direction here. What is in this world? Why, men and women that are groping and trying to find their way and looking for this world to give it direction. And they find constantly dissatisfaction. They find that the things of this world don't satisfy. Here was Paul. He was a man with a mission. You remember that. Did you know? It was a wrong mission. A light from heaven. And he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What a wonderful example. What a beginning. Some people might concentrate on his past. The Spirit of God says, I want to concentrate on his future. We all have a past. Some of you may still be living in it. Still attached to that old man. Still going your own way. Not having a Redeemer. Not having a purpose. Not having a focus. Here was the beginning for this man, Saul of Tarsus. And you know what? And I think it's a tremendous help as we take up the question of what is the Lord going to do with me? What a help to realize that the Lord that saved me and did the work is the Lord that is able to communicate to me and to you what He wants us to do. Saul asked that question. What wilt thou have me to do? And did the Lord just leave him hanging? No. No. He begins to tell him exactly. And He will do the same for us, won't He?
Maybe by way of introduction as well, it may be important for us to realize that the Lord is desirous and willing to use every one of us. And when we look at Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, he calls himself in another portion that he's the chiefest of sinners. And if you look at what he was doing when he went to Damascus, we could call him the missionary of Israel's hatred against Christ. And if the Lord is able to take one such as Saul and use him, that means that there isn't another individual in the entire world that he cannot take and also use for his purpose.
I think this is also a wonderful opportunity for us to revisit when that light shone from heaven in our hearts. Yep. You know, we've been talking about the things that Christ has put in our hands for us to occupy till He comes. And you know, it's wonderful to think back to that moment of our own personal conversions, to recognize that we were on the wrong road and how we had been groping in darkness. And it's possible that you might be 17, 18, 22 years old, and it's been quite a distance from the time in which you were saved to the point by which we sit here now talking about doing or occupying till He come. The Lord would, I believe, have us to revisit that point of our own personal conversions. You see, Saul here, it's interesting that he says, "Who art thou, Lord?" Saul thought that he knew who the Lord was. But the Lord didn't answer him according to how Saul thought he was going to answer. He said, "You know who I am? I'm Jesus." That is his earthly name, his earthly ministry. It was Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. It was the Lord Jesus who bore our sins in his own body. And I believe that when we as individuals get a hold of what it meant for Jesus Christ to bear the sins of many, that it then, I mean, Paul had to say, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do now?" Because he had a glimpse. And sometimes, you know, some of the older brethren used to say, we need to go back to Calvary. We need that second touch. Because sometimes we've been on the path, we've grown cold, we don't remember just the stark reality of the fact that we were lost and we were estranged from God. It would have us to revisit and to recognize that that light shone in our hearts from heaven. And now he would have something for us to do. And for a moment, in your own mind, just refresh yourself for that moment when the Lord casts his glorious light of the gospel upon your heart and mind.